Michigan Rundown Podcast.
Walton, Chapman, hoist a three. Michigan wins!
At midcourt, extra pass.
And it goes for the win!
Presented by Jake Singer. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Michigan Rundown Podcast. My name is Jake Singer, and on today's episode, I'm going to go into depth about the Game 1 recap as the University of Michigan beat the University of Minnesota in football, finally to start the 2020 season. And I was so pleased with how we played this past weekend. I'm going to go into the offense, the defense, and the special teams, and how each side of the ball performed this past weekend. And dare I say, I was very happy with all three groups. Let's start with the offense. Josh Gattis' play calling was exceptional this past weekend. I was really pleased with how he really called the plays, because last year when he was up in the box at the beginning of the season, we had a lot of issues. If you remember correctly, we almost lost to Army in the second game of the year last year, and that could have been a huge disaster. That said, this year, this Michigan team came in hot against Big Ten competition immediately. Minnesota had a really strong team, and going into the season, a lot of people picked them as kind of the dark horse in the Big Ten. That all said, Michigan's offense completely torched their defense from the start, from the first snap. There were plays like the 70-yard touchdown run by Zach Charbonnet, even the second play of the game with Blake Corum, and that huge catch to go all the way down to the 50-yard line. Just from the start, we had a huge fast-paced offense that Minnesota was not prepared for. This is the first Michigan game where I didn't really complain about a single play on the offense. I think we called it extremely well. We ran the ball when we needed to run the ball. When there were short yardage gains, you know, we trusted our team. We trusted Joe Milton. You know, he's 6'5". And that's what I really like to see with a really tall quarterback, is that you're not just going to go and hand the ball off in an I formation on third and short or fourth and short. You're going to give the ball to your quarterback who's 6'5" and just with his wingspan alone can get 3 yards. And that's exactly what we did. We ran behind our experienced offensive line and we just trusted the whole process, and it really worked out in the end of the day. Now, I want to say that we have 10 legitimate weapons on offense. I was very happy with what I was seeing with the consistency and the approach that we are taking with using our less experienced wide receiver core, our very experienced wide receiver core, getting 4 running backs involved, kind of switching it all up. Because when it comes to the running backs especially, we have very different running backs all in the backfield that bring their own skill sets. When you have Zach Charbonnet, he's kind of the all-around back that is powerful but also was really fast. Then you have Evans, who is a pass catch back and has the experience in the running back room. But then you have a guy like Blake Corum, who the broadcasters even compared to J.K. Dobbins, and that's a really, that's a lot of high praise for a guy who's barely played in NCAA football. And finally, we have Asan Haskins, who also is a really consistent back that you can trust getting you the yards to gain to get the first down and even finding the end zone. That guy has a nose for the end zone more so than any of our running backs in our running back room, which I would like to say. Now, of course, there are always things you can improve upon. Our tight end Bell, he dropped a few balls that were easily catchable, even having a wide open touchdown just went right through his hands. That has to be fixed. The wide receivers still need to do a better job of creating space on their own. The play calling was there definitely, but once we start playing more competition such as Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, those play calls might not always get the job done. And in that case, we're going to need our wide receivers to create space on their own and use the skill sets that they have and bring them to the table. To piggyback off of that, I also want to see the wide receivers go deep more. Joe Milton as everyone was saying going into this game, has probably one of the strongest arms in college football. But I rarely saw any deep balls that were thrown, and if they were, they were way overthrown, which just kind of shows his power. That said, we have the skill sets. We have the speedy wide receivers on the outside and Joe Milton's arm to go deep. And if we can open up that defense like that against those big competitions such as Ohio State, Penn State, and Wisconsin, if we can just go deep on them from the get-go, I think that will really be the cause to their defense crumbling. So that's another thing I want to see. Also, you know, the running back, well, of course, the running backs just has to keep on what they're doing. I really like what I saw with the running backs, even the offensive line. You know, the running backs have skill sets, but it's that offensive line that led that way, especially with Zach Charbonnet and his 70-yard touchdown. He got it easy. You know, one big block up front, and he was gone. And also, a quick note just with Ben Mason, you know, he really showed up at the beginning of the game when he got that unsportsmanlike penalty in the first drive that killed our drive. I was furious and I was worried that that was going to be the thing that was going to lose the game, but he really stepped it up and I think it's safe to say that the Michigan fan base forgave him just for the plays he made in that game. I mean, he had a catching touchdown. He had some monstrous blocks and was just really, you know, finding his way in every single offensive play. So I was really, really pleased with how the offense played. That being said, just keep in mind, Minnesota really just had a mediocre defense. So we just can't get too carried away, and that's what I keep saying. You know, we have Michigan State this weekend. Michigan State lost to Rutgers pretty badly, but whenever we play Michigan State, it's always a battle, and we can't take any of these games for granted, especially in the Big Ten. These guys are hungry to play. They've been begging to play now for months, and now that they're playing, you know, you can't take any game for granted, and I think that was really shown in our game. So now on the defensive side of the ball, this is where we have a few issues. You know, we knew we were going to face a pretty good Minnesota offense and had a lot of questions coming into the game on the defensive side. The offense, we knew was going to be strong no matter what. But the defense, we had a few questions. And, you know, I think we played pretty well. There are definitely some things we need to fix. For example, Ibrahim, their running back, managed to get 5.5 yards per gain, which, you know, is just not good. Also, when Dax Hill went out, our safeties just completely gave up, it felt like, and they were just not reading the quarterback correctly. That said, the report just came through today that Dax Hill merely only got scratched on his face, and that was the reason why he came out, but he hopefully should be good to go for Michigan State, but there is no cause for concern that he should be out for a longer period of time, even if he has to miss this weekend. You know, guys like Vincent Gray and German Green really need to step it up in the cornerbacks as well, because, you know, they were facing, again, a high-powered offense that played very mediocre this weekend, but when they go up against those big-time wide receivers of those better teams, they just need to step it up. Finally, Michael Barrett had an insane game. That guy, it felt like, was making plays every single snap on every side of the ball. So I am extremely pleased with how he played, and I'm really excited to see what he can do. That said, you know, an all-around great defensive game, definitely some things we can work on the defensive side of the ball, but now we had a big game that's done. We didn't play in Nebraska or in Illinois. We played a ranked team, and it showed when we got moved up to number 13. They saw this team as a really highly powered team, and we took care of business, and now we have a big rivalry game against Michigan State. Now, the worst part of the game, I will say, was the special teams. If you were watching the game, which I hope you were, I think you would agree with me that the special teams could have lost us a game if it was somewhat close in any way, which luckily it was not. But the kicking team with Jake Moody was, you know, he missed 3 field goals. That's 9 points that we left on the board that we couldn't score. We had a punt blocked, you know, and that set them up in great field position to start the game. And that's, you know, that kind of sets the stage for how the whole game goes. And I was terrified that was going to hurt us in the long run. But that being said, you know, the rest of our team stepped up. But going forward, when we have these big, high-powered games, we need to step it up on special teams. Because the special teams, you know, can make or break a team. If you make your field goals, great. That's a lot of points on the board. If you get punts blocked, that's awesome field position for the opposite team. So there are definitely, you know, some major, major things our special teams coaches need to work on this week and on the upcoming weeks with our special teams play. That all said, I want to do an offensive MVP and a defensive MVP. Now, as I just said, without a doubt, our defensive MVP is Michael Barrett, who's our Viper. That guy really just played, I think, better football than anybody could have ever asked for out of him. Our offensive MVP, I couldn't really choose one. Now, the running back group was great, but if you look even deeper, it's the entire offensive line. That offensive line played better than I've seen a Michigan offensive line play in a long time, and we had four offensive linemen now on NFL active rosters just from last year. This offensive line this past weekend against Minnesota's defense tore them apart, and they were the big guys on campus. Joe Milton is known as a running quarterback, and he rarely had to scramble in the pocket to get yardage. It was really only his decision when he wanted to get out of the pocket, but he was really, you know, a pocket passer, which is great to see, because in the past we've said we've had pocket passer quarterbacks and just never played out that way. But Joe Milton really listened to his coaching staff, listened to Harbaugh, and stayed in the pocket and trusted his offensive line, and it showed. Those holes that the running backs made for that the offensive line made for our running backs were huge, and anybody could run through that. Even I could run through those holes. So our offensive line for sure is just the entire offensive MVP because they set the tone for that entire game. Now this weekend, we have Michigan State. Again, they crumbled badly against Rutgers, but when you play Michigan State, you can't take anything for granted. We played a team, we have a lot of confidence, but Michigan State also now has something to prove. You know, they don't want to go down 0-2 to start the season because that pretty much means their season's over. That being said, Michigan has a lot of momentum. They're really highly ranked right now. If we just keep winning, you know, it could play out that we could be, you know, a top contending team in Indianapolis. So we just have to build on this confidence, build on what we learned, study the tape, and go into this weekend with a lot of confidence and a lot of power to blow Michigan State out of the state of Michigan. So with that, thank you all for listening to this episode today. I just wanted to do a brief recap of the football game. Stay tuned for a recap of the Michigan State game. I'm really excited to see what this team can do this year, and go Blue!